you come around the corner and you thinking about you're going to see the tough locks. You see some double D's go around this thing. And you're like, bang, bang. All these things is what makes Hayden Hayden. Problem is, Hayden's not winning. And so he's saying that and he's acting in the way of he's the entitlement, like he's done something. The point was he wasn't willing to do that. And all year I've been saying it's the point where whether Eli wins or not, it's the he's got to go and be willing to get knocked out. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7, and you know where we at. We at the rebound, baby. Round 9 from Birmingham, Alabama. Forrest Gump. Jenny.
Alabama!
These guys are going to a new stadium. Well, they went to a new stadium. Mother Nature was flirting around, saying it was going to rain. She rained on Friday, so that track got really soft, but she held off pretty much all day on Saturday. Track layout was very easy, but it was a hard circumstance because they were trying to stop that number 18 red play holder, Jet Lawrence. And then you got the 250 class. Would Danger Boy have bounced back, or would Cameron McAdoo let it hang out again, or would the Frenchie go back and do his thing like he did last week at Daytona? Well, you know what we got to do. Round 9, Birmingham, Alabama. No, this ain't Jenny. Let's get into it. They were preparing for rain, and they got rain. The dirt looked fantastic. It actually looked like the dirt in Florida. So I think if it was dry, that soil would have been pretty much almost like a Jacksonville back in the day, whereas that clay has a little bit of hard base to it, but there's a little sand on top. Looked actually pretty good. But since it rained, it got really soft and to the point to where the faces were soft and rutted, but then they start hardening up. But overall, it was a supercross track without whoops and triples, which basically is the definition of a supercross track.
What the hell?
Again, they were preparing for it to start raining, and it really didn't. So those guys were able to race a racetrack without whoops and a triple. So that made it a lot easier. But in hindsight, the way the track broke down and how rutted it got, it actually made it very difficult. So it was strange to see. Without the whoops, they had a few doubles and stuff. I think it would have, the whoops would have helped a lot, but overall there wasn't a lot of opportunity for guys to actually make passes like going through the whoops because they weren't there, which made you really had to pass them in the rhythm section. Otherwise you were kind of stuck. Overall, Dirtworks did what they had to do. I've never seen that before, but they went racing and they went round and round, and it was just without the whoops and triples.
Keep moving forward and looking forward to a good main event here in Alabama, and dirt's awesome and ready to go race.
The big story coming into this weekend was, could anyone stop Jet Lawrence? Was last weekend at Daytona, wouldn't say changing of the guard, but the changing of the guard, at least for this series, because the way and what he was able to accomplish at Daytona with so much online, guys are starting to peak in the right, you know, going the right way. Eli was coming back. Cooper Webb just won a race. Chase Sexton, hands getting better. Jet Lawrence came in there and, you know, put his foot all up in there. Like, he was in the kitchen. He was knocking out. I mean, he came in the house, knocked over grandma, kicked the old lady in the stomach, used the bathroom, and ate all the food in the toilet, and then sent you a bill because he had to get new shoes. That's what he did at Daytona. So it was up to everyone else to kind of stop that. So going into round 9, you were wondering how guys would bounce back. It seemed like from practice, from the heat race, Chase Sexton, like, he knew what was up. Cooper Webb, he knew what was up. Even though Jet Lawrence was able to get around him in that heat race, everyone knew what was up, including Jet Lawrence. So having the track being so easy and without the whoops and stuff, and then obviously the track became a big part because it broke down and stuff, but it didn't really matter. They needed to do something to try to stop this kid because they saw where this thing was going. And so I felt like going in this weekend, it was a big key for everyone. And we all know what happened. Jet Lawrence, you know, did knocked over the old lady again, but those guys were trying. And I feel like out of everybody, Chase Sexton was probably the one guy that showed some kind of speed. Like, okay, he's going in the right direction. Like he, like there was more Chase-like in that heat race. Because I believe if Chase would rode the way he did in that heat race, I actually think he might have gave, like, who knows, say he might have beat Jet Lawrence, but he would have been the best opportunity to beat Jet Lawrence just straight up if they were going the way he rode in that heat race. Eli Tomac and all those guys, they rode better, but then Jet Lawrence is still that top notch. But nonetheless, they know what was up and they needed to do it, and they couldn't do it. But going into round nine, it was a big test for all those guys. So I looked at the track layout, and this was based just looking at the track. And I said on the inside line that I felt like the way that track was laid out, it was going to favor KTM. I thought two things. I thought the dirt would be hard, and if it was dry, it would have been hard. But just the way that layout was, and knowing that it didn't have the whoops, and it was going to be, even though it was a fast track in lap times, the weight of S corners and things like that, I felt like it would help a bike that, you know, necessarily had a little bit more flex to it. You know, it was a steel frame and all that. It was going to favor Chase Sexton, and it did. You know, the way he rode in that heat race, I mean, dude, lights out. I mean, probably the best I've seen Chase ride. I mean, I would even put that guy up against the guy last year. Like, there was a difference. And you could see it was more, things were just easier for him. You know, the bike seemed like it turned really, really good. He just felt comfortable, not necessarily saying that he was doing anything different, but he looked like all year long, like I said, Chase, he just looks solid. Like, he's just doing his thing. Speed might not be there, but overall, like, the consistency, he doesn't look like he's going to crash compared to sometime last year where he was like, damn, the dude's fast, and then he hit the ground. Well, this year, it just looked like, this race, it just looked like he was just solid, like fast. It looked like he'd do it all day long. I mean, you can hear him, you can see it. And so I think that was partly the layout when they came across the start, backup start, that little S section, and then the rhythm sections, there was no really big jumps in it. It was just more about making sure once it got rutted, you can get through the whoops. But I think that and the way, since everybody kind of rides in Florida, I think they were all kind of comfortable on that dirt. It just looked good for Chase, and you know, what he did in that heat race, I know it was a big confidence booster. And what ended up happening in the main event goes back to the fact of where the part that he is still somewhat lacking is being able to go from like here to like here because of, you know, maybe the bike's not completely there for him or it's easy to override. Once he got a bad start, since that track was so one-lined and since there wasn't the whoops where he could pass maybe Justin Cooper going through the whoops, like he can blitz through the whoops, that wasn't there. So the only place that he can pass would be really just pushing through the rhythm sections and just trying to go faster. And that was the part I said that he somewhat kind of struggled with this year. And that's why I felt like in that main event, he was clearly faster than Justin Cooper. You know, he was moving forward, but once he got there, there wasn't anything that would separate him to where Chase, if it's a speed thing and he's got to push through it, I still don't think the bike's set up for him to do that, meaning to take it from 100 to 105, because that's what he would have needed to do. He can't do that part. So it becomes where he's just waiting for Justin Cooper to make a mistake. And then you can see Chase, he was getting really frustrated. You know, he was trying to go outsides and you know, all over the place. And once he was doing that, he was losing the time, and then he just got flustered. But the good part was I saw Chase realize that, lay back, and then attack Justin instead of like hitting the ground. So there's still a lack of going next level speed for when, if you're not out front, to even if you go that pace, even if Chase rode the pace in the heat race per se, let's say he went that fast and you're like, Jay, you just said he can run with Jet Lawrence. Okay. Yeah, he could. Even if he went that fast in the heat race, he gets a bad start, he's going to have to go faster. Why? Because if he runs the pace of Jet Lawrence, but he's farther back, that means he's got to run a pace that's faster than Jet Lawrence. And that's the part that I say from going to 100 to 105, he would have to go faster than he did in that heat race, which is overriding the bike. And I think that level isn't there. And that's what you saw in the main event. And you can also see him knowing that he felt like he had the speed of Jet Lawrence, but he was stuck behind Justin Cooper and he couldn't do anything about it. And that's when he was getting frustrated. And then, you know, things were happening and he made mistakes, but he did a good job recovering. So that's where things were coming from. But overall, I think Chase, just like kind of everybody else, is now, well, I would say maybe a little bit different than everybody else, but I feel like now they're hoping that Jet makes a mistake that allows them back in the points. And even though they're all still right there, you can just think psychologically, every time Jet wins after Daytona, it's, yeah, you get the 3 points or whatever it is, but he gets that mental 10 points. You know, you can see it, like he's mentally getting more than just points. You know, he's starting to be like, all right, beginning, all right, made mistakes. I ain't doing that again. And if I don't do that again, I'm going to beat you guys. And it's up to those guys to either stop that as far as speed. And that's what I think you saw this weekend with Chase. He was trying to do it in speed. Because as I said, like, there's one thing racing a guy and hoping that, you know, he makes a mistake and that allows you in. And I feel like with the points, that's how things were. The points gap said everybody was really tight, but in reality, they wasn't. It was because one guy was making them tight, and that's what you saw. And that's why what happens when Jet starts running, you know, he won 2 races in a row, and it goes from everybody's within 17 points to all of a sudden you're like, all right, there's like 3 people really in the championship in 2 races. That's because the points, the feel wasn't as close as it actually said it was. And that's what you saw. And I think with Chase, he knew he couldn't rely on Jet making mistakes. He needed to go out and do something to at least say, speed-wise, if I'm on and you're on, I can beat you, instead of being like, well, if you're on, I can't race you, so I'm hoping for you to crash. And if Jet ain't crashing, then this race is over. And I think that's what you saw with Chase Sexton. I think Chase did good. It was a step in the right direction. And even though points-wise, he's going to need Jet to maybe, you know, let him back in on the points wise, because he's still not quite up to that pace with Jet, but he's actually going the right direction. And hopefully they can continue that. And then maybe we have a battle, but Chase was solid. So Eli Tomac, he was another guy after last weekend. It was his house. It was his house that he knocked over. He knocked over, you know, his family member. So it was a lot of talk and really coming from Eli, because he said it, you know, I said all year there was the dude's riding great. There ain't nothing you can take away from him. I think Eli, after what happened last year, being bouncing back, you know, he's riding good. And it does take a little bit for, even if everything was, Eli was back to being Eli, coming off that injury, it would take him some races to get back in that full flow. But as he was riding really good, there was still something I said that was still missing. Like, there was just still something missing. And it ain't nothing to do with him trying or whatever it is. Like, it's just something that, I mean, he knows. And, you know, being at that level, you can kind of see it. Well, Daytona, he said that he was like, that quad, like that jump, he's like, I didn't do it. And it wasn't the quad. It wasn't that he wasn't doing the jump that kind of lost in the race, even though he didn't do the jump. And that's why he said he lost the race, because he said that was the only place he was losing time. But that ain't really the point.
So that was a f***ing lie.
The point was he wasn't willing to do that. And all year I've been saying it's the point where, whether Eli wins or not, he's got to go and be willing to get knocked out. He's got to be willing to get knocked out. You know, at one point this weekend, Chase Sexton, he was willing to get knocked out. Then he was like, nah, you know, even if I get knocked out or I'm willing to do that, I probably still ain't going to catch the dude, because, you know, being knocked out means I just ride that pace with the dude. Maybe I can ride that pace, but I got to go faster than that. Well, I was seeing that Eli wasn't willing to go there. And again, I say this with all the respect in the world, and I think Eli understands that, and he actually says, it's not disrespectful, it's just that level of where we saw with him at Anaheim 3 last year, you know, him not never to be denied. You know, it's not like, and I feel like maybe I can try to explain it a better way. When I say that, when I say he's not willing to go to that level or there's something that is still missing, like when he doesn't jump that quad, it's not that I'm saying if he was willing to jump that quad, Eli's going to be faster. No, I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not saying that even Eli's not faster. I mean, Eli might be as fast as he ever have. But it's the mental side of I'm all in to the point to where, like, I don't even think about not winning. Like, I don't even think not winning is not even something that doesn't cross my mind. Like, if I got to jump a quad, then it just happens naturally. I think the part is Eli thinks about jumping the quad. That's the part where I say is the difference when whatever that part is, when you go from when you're partly retired or whatever, or if there's something else or you don't want to get hurt, you think about jumping that quad instead of letting it happen naturally. I feel like when Eli's been in his zone in the last few years, he wouldn't even think about it. He would just end up hitting it. And then maybe when he comes up short, he'd be like, damn, maybe I shouldn't do that again. He'll think about it afterwards, but he would go ahead and tack it. And that slight hesitation is the part where I go and I'm like, that's the part that Eli is still trying to figure out. And when he's, you know, he's feeling good, everything's going great. Like it was in the beginning part of a heat race, everything was going great. It was just happening to him. And then when Jet Lawrence comes up and he's like, should I go faster? Then he starts thinking about it. Or when he's at Anaheim, you know, the Triple Crown, he's in the back and he's like, man, I'm feeling good. And he's, all right, I'm getting caught up with these guys. All right, what do I do? Like, I'm gonna have to hit these whoops. Like, he's thinking about it compared to when he pulled the whole shot, he just goes out and rides and it's not. And then he runs away from everybody. My point is that slight hesitation is something that he has to figure out. When he hit that ground at Anaheim 3 last year, he didn't think about maybe he shouldn't have done that until he actually did it. This year, I feel like he would think about before he does that. And that's the part where you can see the level of attacking to make him go, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I think when you're racing against a guy like Jet Lawrence, that's one, if you put both of you guys beast mode and all that, like you might have a great race. He's talented. And Jet is where Eli and where we all were when we had the peak. I'm invisible. Like nothing can happen to me. I don't even think about not jumping 16 jumps in a row. I don't even think about that until I hit the ground. I'm like, damn, maybe I shouldn't do that. Well, that's what he's racing again. So when you got this field and you got all these guys, so this field is so talented, it makes it difficult when you're not all in. If you ask yourself, like, well, why is he still beating Chase? Or why is when he's on, he can outrun Cooper Webb and he can have these laps? It's because everyone else Eli's racing against outside of Jet Lawrence, he's raced against. So there's history. Those guys have somewhat of a history of the fear of knowing when beast mode is here, when they see the number three coming up behind them, they're psychologically, they remember racing that dude. So somewhat they have, I wouldn't say a weakness, but Eli knows he can beat him. They know he can beat him. And when he shows any kind of sign of being that guy, it's a mental battle for those guys because he's actually done it. Where Jet Lawrence don't got that. Like, it's like a kid that hasn't touched the stove yet to realize that next time mama's cooking, maybe I shouldn't touch that stove because he hasn't been burnt. He knows she could say it's hot, but he's got to find out. Well, Jet Lawrence don't know full beast mode or whatnot. It's like he doesn't have the history of not of getting his doors blown off like some of these other guys by Eli Tomac. So Eli, when he's racing Jet, he's racing a guy that has no memory of any, you know, any negativity or anything that going up against me. So every time that he beats me, he just feels like, all right, well, I can beat you. I hear all this stuff, but I haven't seen that. And that makes it really hard for like Eli Tomac. And I feel like that's why he can still get around. And when he's on, he can still beat the other guys. It's just when he's on, he's just got to be willing to go to that next level and show Jet what he showed everybody else in the world and over the past, that when I'm here, like I'm here, like you, there's nothing you can do. And that's the difference I feel like when he's racing against Jet Lawrence. So Eli Tomac, he's doing his thing. And what you're starting to see is just like that heat race, if you want to go back to the, when I was like going in round nine, everybody knew how important it was to stop that dude. You saw Eli out there. Like you saw him like turn down for what? Turn down for what? And he was able to pull away. Jet Lawrence caught him at the end. But then in that main event, Eli got the bad start and he was coming up, but he ran in that buzzsaw of what Chase Sexton came up like, well, I can even go as fast as I did in that heat race and I'm going to have to go faster because I'm in the back of the pack. And I think at the end of the day, you saw that start to wear on Eli. And I said it a few weeks ago, when you're here, like it's even hard to come down to this level. Like when you can't, when everything's about winning and you hear all this talk about this kid coming in and he might be the best thing since sliced bread or the greatest thing. And you're Eli Tomac and you feel like, dude, I'm here. And I say like, because in his mind, he'd be it's frustrating for him. So when he's not, if he can't win, it's going to be hard for Eli. And he was coming up through the pack. And I think it would hit a point to where he was like, this ain't even good enough. And there's nothing negative about it. You just saw that happen with Eli. And it's frustrating. But at the same time, it's nice to see him still fighting. And that's where I go back to, it ain't anything that Eli's not trying to do. Like, it ain't like he's not putting in the work or he's not trying to go fast. There's just something that he knows. And if you've never been there, it's hard to explain that is missing or is him, that thought in his mind. And when he starts thinking about that and he realizes like, dude, I can go as fast as I can and I'm still not going to beat this dude. That's when you go from beast mode coming up. And then next thing you know, you're like, dude, what happened? That's because he realizes like, dude, I'm here to win. And if I can't win, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, I'm not a guy that's just going to be on the podium. Like, getting fourth place, bad start. I was in the back, coming up, getting four. Happy to most people. No, for what? Because I'm still losing. Like, even if I came up and got second place, I still lost. I didn't accomplish what I needed to accomplish, and that was winning. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him and, you know, going forward. But it ain't a lack of effort. I think Eli is doing a great job, and hopefully he can continue on that rise and get dude to business.
I know what it takes now to run that pace, so pretty happy with tonight. Solid second. He's a hell of a competitor, great rider. So
Cooper Webb, last weekend he was there, but he wasn't there. He got fourth place, but it was a distance fourth place. And I said that out of all the people, what happened last weekend, they ain't really, like, it wouldn't even really mess with him because he was so far back that, like, he didn't race yet. And Cooper's the type of person that just get mad anyway. Like, he mad when he wins. So Cooper Webb was going to be Cooper Webb. Like, nothing was going to change that. So the heat race comes by, and he's up there, and he's watching Eli, you know, do his thing and trying to pull away. It's kind of cool to watch, like, the personalities of each rider, right? Like, you got Eli trying to prove that he's in speed, and then you got Chase Sexton, same thing, trying to prove it in speed, and Jet Lawrence trying to show everybody, like, it doesn't matter what you do. And then you got this guy, Cooper Webb. And he ain't really doing anything. He's just there. And you watch him, and the main event and in the heat race, like, you see Eli, you know, turn down for what, and you're just watching Cooper. And he's like, but he's still there. Like, he's just still there. And it ain't like he's going through whoops because they wasn't no whoops. It wasn't like he was jumping anything because there ain't nothing. And then I said people get frustrated when they watch Cooper Webb and because they don't realize, they don't understand what he's doing. And this weekend was a perfect example of that. So in the heat race, Jet gets by him. Cooper knew he had it. And so Cooper just kind of rolls out on the outside. Now, it could, from the angle, maybe you can look at, did Cooper think that Jet ran it in on him? Because it looks like a point where I think Jet was going to go to the inside and it has to straighten up to catch that middle rut. And Cooper thought he was going to go to the inside. So I think he was starting to lean in that left-handed corner and Jet was going to that middle rut. Maybe that part startled Cooper or whatnot. I don't think it was anything like he was running in on him, but maybe it's like Jason Anderson getting my airspace. Whoop. So then they're going down the rhythm section and then they get off timing. So and Cooper ends up hitting him. Well, I think with knowing Cooper, knowing the situation, and when you got a guy like Jet Lawrence, one thing you have to do if you can't beat him on his feet, just rough him up. Like you have to stop him. It's what people used to do to Eli Tomac. It used to work for a while. When Beast Mode come, well, you ain't going to start going 2 seconds faster, but what you can do is stop him from going 2 seconds faster by getting in his way and frustrate him that way. So I can see how it could easily look like a mistake. Cooper overjumps that triple and then he runs into Jet Lawrence because people have this narrative that the only way you can stop him is by hitting him. I don't think Cooper did anything purposely. I think they got off rhythm. And even if Cooper was upset that he thought maybe Jet ran it in on him, not saying Cooper even thought that, but just going down that road, it was still, he wasn't going to take him out in that corner. Like he knew once they got off rhythm and Jet doubled single going to that, Cooper tripled into that. Even if he wanted to run in and just like, you know, rev the motorcycle up, maybe he was going to do that, but there was no way he was actually going to hit that dude in that corner because that was something that one, it was going to T-bone and get hurt. And I don't think Cooper, even if he wanted to hit Jet in the main, in that heat race, I think Cooper would have done it in the main event if he was going to do anything, but Cooper Webb wouldn't do it there. Like if he's going to stuff the dude and knock him down, Cooper Webb ain't like he might be aggressive, but he ain't stupid. Like he ain't trying to hurt somebody. So he knew by if he did it there, likelihood he might actually hurt dude. And that's not the way he goes about his business. Cooper Webb overjumps that triple. Jet goes on the inside because he's the thought of what Cooper might do to him. He dive bombs on that inside. He's trying to shut it down. And then they end up hitting and then Cooper falls over. But nonetheless, I think it was more of a, you know, a situation what happened with Cooper Webb and Jason Anderson last year at Phoenix when he overjumped the triple going in the corner. And when you overjump it, the problem is it was almost like that landing was flat. Like once you overjump it, it was so flat that when Cooper hits, the bike bounces up. And when the bike bounces up, then he can't stop. So even though he's on the brakes, he's kind of up in the air and more sliding and he hits Jet. And that's why I think it was just more of a circumstance. So no big deal. But then in the main event comes and my whole point about Cooper Webb and why it's so frustrating racing him for everybody else is because Jet Lawrence, it's when you watch him or you watch Chase Sexton or you watch Eli Tomac and then you watch Cooper Webb, there's a different riding style, one on all of them. But the three that I just mentioned, Jet Lawrence, Chase Sexton, Eli Tomac, you can visually see what they're doing. You can see where they're going faster, where Cooper Webb, you can't see that. And as I go back to, and I said, out of all the things that happened last weekend, Cooper Webb was like that even keel person. Like it's going to take a lot for him to be stopped. I think the only thing that would stop Cooper Webb is there's something in his program that he doesn't believe in that allows him to be Cooper Webb. It ain't going to be what Jet Lawrence is doing to him or Eli Tomac. The dude's too, one, mentally strong to the point to where he kind of just knows his place. Like he knows his lane. He knows maybe necessarily he's not the fastest. He knows necessarily he ain't going to jump that. But he knows at the end of the day, out of all that being said, I'm still win. Like I can still win. That's why you get a guy that can get back when he was winning the championship. That's why Cooper Webb can be like 13th fastest in practice, get his doors blown off in the heat race, and then come out and just wax y'all in the main event. That's the guy. And because he just knows. And when the other guys, he knows with them that if they're not doing one certain thing, then he can get to them. Or the guys, if Chase is not fast, that's okay. That's an issue with him where Cooper, you don't really know what it bothers him. So again, it wouldn't be Jet. It would be something that happens with Cooper. And when we go back to the KTM stuff, when I was like, he fell over like a wet noodle, that was happening because Cooper Webb didn't believe in what he had, whatever was going on with the team. Like he didn't show up at the gate feeling like he was Cooper Webb. Well, I don't see that this year. So no matter what everybody else does, like I knew he was still going to be there. And case in point, after all that stuff that was happening, how fast Chase was and how good Eli was in the heat race and how Jet has been so dominant, Cooper Webb's still like right there. The difference is Jet didn't make any mistakes. So Cooper would have still maybe with the whoops, jumping through the whoops or finding those lines, and with a track being so pretty basic, even though it was a Cooper Webb type of track, like a nasty, just hanging on, it still didn't allow him to be a full version himself. And that's why he couldn't close that gap. And I think with Cooper Webb, it was a win for him because he rode good. He knew like, well, I beat everybody else and I need to be back on the podium. And I still feel like I'm right here because I still feel like if I get a little bit faster and if I'm, you know, if I get improvement right here, I'm going to be trouble. So I think with him, he kind of knows his presence. And, you know, I also think with Jet Lawrence, he knew with Cooper Webb, like he was like, all right, I'm just going to ride a pace that once I get like 3 seconds, I'm just going to stay there because I don't want to allow this guy to get any closer to me. And so it looks like Jet was managing it, which he was managing it, but he was managing it to keep Cooper just at that safe distance behind because he knew if he made any mistake, he's going to have a problem. No matter how good he is and how dominant he is, he can't figure out what it is with that guy that's going to allow him to just kind of break him. Because other guys, if they can't catch him, then they're mad because they're not faster and they can't catch him. Where Cooper just ride there all day and just wear you down. And once you make a small mistake, then he's going to attack. And so what you saw was Jet realizing that and trying to manage that race. And it almost somewhat neutralized Cooper because Jet was riding not to make a mistake to allow this dude back in. And Cooper wasn't able to actually, since Jet didn't do that, he wasn't able to sniff the bacon and get a little bit closer and then bite that thing. So it was kind of a funny race when you watch those two go. And, you know, that's why overall Cooper Webb was a win for him because he was still right there and Jet's racing because he knows he's right there. And I think out of all the people, I think Jet realizes that he's the one that just like everybody else in the past, like he's probably going to be the toughest one because I can't break him by just a speed. And no matter how many times I beat him, it's going back to what happened last year at Houston with Chase Sexton. When Chase Sexton was 2 seconds faster than Eli, practice worked Eli in that heat race, but Eli beat him in that main event. What that said to Eli and everybody else in that field, that no matter how much better that he is, we still can get to him. Well, that's what's going on with Jet and everybody else when it comes to Cooper Webb, because if the dude's out there rolling and no matter how much faster I am, the dude's in the main event and he's right there, he's something to be worried about. No matter how fast or no matter what I do, he's still right there. And that was Cooper. So Cooper did a great job. And I think for him, second place, it ain't a win because he's always mad, but he's going to be solid next weekend, just like he was this weekend. So,
but for the first time this year, someone has gone back to back, and the back to back wins go to Jet Lawrence.
So, Jet Lawrence, he was the one up in everyone's crib last weekend, and he came in and he said it was businesslike.
So, I'm here to do business this weekend,
and I remember going back to the beginning part of the season and I was like, look, it wouldn't be surprising if he had some rookie mistakes, but it would be surprising if he had rookie mistakes just because what we saw from outdoors. But, you know, he's going to make mistakes because he's racing in a different place. It's a whole different feel. And I think with him racing Chase Sexton, he's raced them before. So, and once you able to beat him, then he got on that rolling outdoors. Then just mentally, he knew who he was racing. And I think that allowed him to kind of get through it. So fast forward, we saw the dominant version of Anaheim 1. Then we saw things get caught up. And I talked about the one thing with Jet, it's like being young, it's like I saw him almost forget about what he was doing and focusing in on what he was doing like right then. Like he would get caught up in what he was battling, whether it was Cooper Webb, Jason Anderson, you know, or coming up short, trying to pass Eli. He was focusing in on that. Well, you can see the demeanor kind of switch. The thing with Jet is once he kind of figures out how to do it, and it goes with all these guys, like once they believe they can achieve, then they can achieve all the time because they believe. Well, once he figured out how to win this thing and how to start beating each rider, because the one thing when you're dominant, you have to race guys different. Like I raced Chad Reed differently than I did Ricky Carmichael. I had to race Ryan Villopoto differently than I did Ryan Dungey. And each time I was able to beat them, you know, beat me too, but each time I was able to beat them, whether I could beat them or not, I knew how to race that particular rider. Well, you can see Jet Lawrence race each guy differently. You know, in outdoors, he knew he needed to be in front of Chase. I'm going to pass him right now. Like, I need to be in front of him. That's going to dictate a lot of stuff. They don't have to worry about anything else, but I need to be in front of him to do that. And he did that. He knows what he needs to do to Eli Tomac. He knew going to Daytona how he needed to race Eli and why that particular rider in that particular race was very important. Well, this weekend, you saw him race Eli Tomac in the heat race and what he wanted to do to Eli, because Eli got out front and he saw that confidence and he saw like he was starting to come back. He knew even what I was saying last weekend when Jet passed Eli in that heat race. What Eli was trying to do was just close in on Jet to let him know that I wasn't warm, that in the main event, now I'll be warm. I can get you, not to run away from it in the heat race. Well, you saw what Jet did. Eli was feeling good. He couldn't even get around Cooper Webb. Finally, he gets around Cooper Webb. Then he puts in his hot lap just to close in on Eli. He knew he wasn't going to beat Eli, but he wanted to show Eli that he didn't want him going in that main event feeling like, okay, confidence, because everything I did last weekend, it could be a race tonight. Like if you come in and beat me tonight and it starts off with beat me in this heat race, it could be a race. Then I got a whole different problem. So he wanted to run down and it was a speed thing with Eli Tomac. Well, Cooper Webb, he races him differently. He gets his gap. I believe Jet's mindset, or what I would race Jet, if I was racing Cooper Webb, this is what I would do. I would make sure I'm in front of him and I would pull a gap like 3-4 seconds. So he's close, but he's not that far, because I don't want to be too far out. Maybe I start wondering and I know whatever, but I'm gonna have to get me a 3-4 second gap. And then I'm gonna make sure I don't allow that gap to get any closer. That's what I'm gonna do. And especially after 10 minutes, I'm gonna make sure I'm really good from about 10 minutes to about 15 minutes. I'm gonna make sure I don't allow Cooper Webb to get any closer. And that's what I would do. And it looks like that's what Jet Lawrence did. And so when people talk about like managing, or it looked like he was managing, and I think Jet maybe said it or hinted it, he was not trying to make any mistakes, because as I said, he knows.
Very difficult track. It could cost you. I felt like old Jet would have thrown away like Arlington. This had to be very, very patient and not just push to this track. It could bite you pretty quickly.
That the guy's not going to just start going faster. He's not going to go faster. Like, he's fast enough that he's beating everybody else, but he's not going to go from here to here. It's like when I raced Ricky Carmichael. Like, I knew as fast as Ricky is, that's how fast he is. Like, he's not going to go faster. The only thing is, like, he's going to run that pace the whole time. So if I let him back into it, then I'm going to have a problem, because he's not clearly fast enough that I just can't go. I can't pull away from like 30 seconds. That would put me in a zone. So he's fast, but he's not going to go way faster. So my point is, I knew when I raced him, that's what he had. Or Chad Reed, on the other hand, he would go faster. Like, he was more up and down. Like, you beat him in a heat race, or sometimes if you knock him out in the beginning part of the race, then you don't have to worry about him coming up, because it was like, it was more speed thing. Chad worked off emotions. He really worked off emotions. Guys like Eli Tomac, where he's at, you know, trying to find this speed, and Chase Sexton, those guys work off emotions. That's why you see Chase in the heat race, he got better. and he got better and he got better because he started emotionally, he started feeling good. He was like, damn, like, all right, El Hombre, he was championship threat. Is he even in this race? I'm feeling good. And when those guys start getting emotions, it's confidence, it's dangerous. So Jet knocks out the emotions out of them. But with Cooper Webb, it's more of like the teasing, you know, his emotions come from you making a mistake and allowing him to get back in because he's not going to go fast. His emotion is not going to make him go faster. His emotion is just going to make sure once he nibbles at you, he's going to bite your leg off.
You're teasing me. Naughty, naughty.
And he's going to be a beast. So my whole point is Jet races everybody differently. And he raced Cooper Webb almost in a way that he was managing it. Not managing it on speed wise, like he's just managing a race, but managing how he races Cooper Webb because he just knows that the guy's going to be there. If I try to go any faster, that's going to put me in the zone. I don't know how, but he makes me have to ride to a pace. But the one thing I cannot do is I cannot be halfway through this thing and allow this dude to take that 3-4 seconds to like 2, you know, and get close because then I know I got a problem because the dude's super strong and somehow, I don't know where he does it, but he ends up just making, like, he just makes up time without going any faster and I can't do anything. So Jet Lawrence managed that race to keep that gap to where Cooper was right there and Cooper was like, it was like a dog with a bone. Like he was like drooling and stuff. Like he was like, ah, but he just never got that close to him to be able to sniff it and bite that thing. And to me, that's what makes this kid great. Like that's what makes Jet great. And as you race certain guys, Jet's going to figure out how to race these guys. And I feel like with him, he's figured out how to beat Chase. He's figuring out how to beat Eli. And now he might be figuring out how to neutralize what makes Cooper Cooper. And that part as age and as like everybody does, you just understand how to win and you can have to win in different ways. Cause as I go back to it, I raced Ricky different than I raced Chad. I raced Chad different than I did RV and Ryan Dungy. And it's something that each champion, they figured out. The problem for everybody else is in the beginning part of this year, Jet didn't figure that part out. And it's because he's younger. He's starting to figure that out. He's starting to figure it out. And that's when he goes back to when he said he's business-like because Jet is aware of this. And I think that's where he's coming from, more of the mental side of figuring out how to actually attack these guys and win the race, being dictated off of who's behind you and the circumstances. Because I could beat certain guys with speed. I could beat them this way. And when people talk about his mentalities changing in Jet Lawrence, to me, that's what it is. It is, because I don't think he's riding any different. You know, it's not like he's just said, okay, I'm going to be mistake-free, because he almost ate doo-doo last weekend in Daytona out front, and I'm sure he made a bunch of mistakes because that track was gnarly. What he's doing is racing each guy in the circumstances. He's getting better at managing and, I guess, dictating and racing each race in each lap, the circumstance, the rider, and understanding that racing this rider, I'm going to race him differently than I race that guy. I don't think I want Eli Tomac. Like, I can knock Eli Tomac out in the beginning by just going faster. So I believe if Eli Tomac was in second, I think that gap would have been, if Jet could have, that gap would have been probably like 6 to 7 seconds. He would have made decision probably to go faster and take that chance to make sure he knocks Eli out in the beginning part of the race. Because if Eli feels like he probably is going to beat Jet in beast mode. Beast mode is speed. So if Jet can knock that out and make Eli believe that he ain't got the speed,
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
Then that race is over with. So the gap, he would be bigger in the beginning where he just knows Cooper Webb, no matter how fast I go, it's if I allow him to get back in at the end of part of the race, then that's going to be a problem. So I'm going to get my gap so I can hit my own lines and just make sure I don't make a mistake to allow this dude to come back up. And to me, that's where your races is. And it's going to be cool to watch as each one of these guys get better. If Cooper finds a little bit more speed, then that might change. Chase Sexton continues riding like he did in that heat race, then that might change. But as of right now, I think what we're watching is Jet Lawrence not changing the way he's approaching or changing the motorcycle or saying, I'm just not going to ride mistake-free or doing something different. I think he's understanding how to race these guys. And that happens with every guy who ends up winning a championship. Really, everybody. You race Ken Roczen different than you would Cooper Webb and vice versa. And that's what we're watching. And I think that's where it's getting really tricky with those guys. And that's where you go back to the narrative of when they were like, when Cooper Webb ran into Jet, that's where that came from. Because you're like, well, if you can't beat him, just knock his ass down. Well, I don't even think we got that part because I don't think Cooper Webb feels like Jet is invisible. I think Cooper Webb believes that he can beat him. And so for him, it's going to be cool to watch that. But one thing we did watch is we watched Jet Lawrence do what he did last weekend. And in this crazy field and how close the points were, he knew, they knew, I knew, you knew. It wasn't as close as the points said they were, but they were as close as the points said they were, because all that matters is the points at the end of the day, because whatever points, how many points you got, that's what you do. No matter how many races you win, if you don't got enough points, you ain't got enough points. You don't win overall. And Jet Lawrence knew, I need to start racking up these things because I'm allowing these guys to get in here and I feel like I'm better than them. But what I'm doing is allowing them to build confidence as they're trying to build confidence. And then I got a problem. But what I don't got a problem is, in last weekend, I didn't have a problem with this because I slapped grandma coming through the door. And today, if I got slapped grandma, I'll slap her again along with grandpa. But what I don't got this problem, and winning isn't one of them. So hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
One thing I don't have a problem with is the suntan lotion, because my neck is starting to heat up. I'm trying to get like Eli Tomac. I'm trying to get black. I'm trying to be the Jet Stewart Lawrence, man. I'm trying to be like JS over here. I'm trying to get doc. So that ain't the problem, but that's because of what I'm doing. I'm stopping the problems before they happen. I'm starting to answer them questions and knowing the answers to that test before they even make that thing. Good job, Jet Lawrence. All right, you know what time it is. It's time to go into the 250 class. We are really getting into the danger zone. It's starting to get danger zone here, and not in the danger zone like you think it is, but it's starting to get a little dangerous for a lot of these things, which is opening up the door for a lot of other people, and that's what we got into.
And Deegan looking to have some words with Hemecker.
And the way this class has been going ever since Austin Fortner came down, we were waiting for Hayden Deegan to kind of come back into it, because I'm sure as weeks go, he's starting to feel better. The injury's starting to heal up. And even though he came in hurt, the first race, we heard the bird around the world.
Sometime it was up. Oh, Deegan is not happy. Deegan's not happy.
In the second race, he was there, kind of like the Cooper Webb effect, Austin Fortner go down, and he was just that confidence. And when these young kids, they start getting confidence and they start able to win, you saw it happen when he had the baby in outdoors. He wanted to have more kids. He wanted to be a baby daddy. He wanted to open up a daycare. It starts rolling. So you felt like after Austin went out and after Hayden won, things are going to start trending in the right way. Well, and he said, welcome to the danger zone.
All I can say is welcome to the danger zone, baby.
Well, it's in the danger zone, but Daytona came by, and then we saw Tom Viao, ninja-like. He's like been riding good all year, and he was like there, and then he won Daytona, like kind of dominant, but it was just quiet. Didn't make no noise, didn't do anything cool, like a little man, like engine that could. That engine was just so powerful that it was just gone. Kind of like Cooper Webb. All right. Like, he was so dominant. They were so far away that I didn't even feel like I was in the race. So whatever happened didn't really matter because I didn't even get the sense of what was going on. That was Tom Viao. So we watched Tom come through there and do his thing. But when we watched Hayden, it started off in the first practice. And I'm not talking about the crash. I'm talking about just wait, look, like, you know, you can tell when guys are riding and they want to be aggressive, but then they also know there's something that they're worried about. And that's what I saw with Hayden. It's like he was doing Hayden-like things, but he was un-Hayden-like. Like, there was that part, kind of like a little bit like with Eli. Like, he shows those flashes, but then there's that part where he thinks about doing that or not? And that's the part that I'm like, wait, you don't really think. So Hayden just looked off. Then he goes down. Then that probably really makes him like a little worried. So I felt like Hayden was, his biggest thing was not going to be speed, because I don't know if he's ever really been like super fast. If I can go back to it, like he's fast, but somewhat like Cooper Webb, like he's fast, but never the fastest, but he could end up being the fastest at the end of the day and can win the race. But it's not like he's going to be pole position to pole position. Or when we saw Austin Fortner or Chase Sexton, you'd be like, damn, like, all right. Yeah, that's fast. But Hayden, he hit some fast thing. That boy can hit them corners. But then it overall, just his mindset allows him to be Hayden Deegan. Well, his biggest thing was going to realize now he's the guy. And everything that you do, it's going to be, why didn't you do it? Rather than like, oh, man, you could have done it. It's like when guys get a podium, like, great. It's the next podium that becomes the hardest. And then it's the next podium, because nobody cares about that podium. They want to just know when you're going to win now. Like, okay, cool. You won. Like, you got a podium. Great. Why aren't you winning? And Hayden was going to have to deal with that pressure of, what happened? I got second. I know, but why didn't you win? That becomes from you being the guy. And in Hayden, sure, he was like that an amateur, but that was his, that's what happened when Austin Faulkner went out. We thought he was going to come in the season. For Hayden, he was hurt. So it kind of like took off some of the pressure. And then he got in his first couple races. But when Austin went out, like he was clearly the second best guy. And he was there with Austin. You could say he's first best. He was beating everybody else. So now once Austin was out, Daytona should have rolled around. That's a Hayden type of track. The way he went around Jeremy Martin last year on the outside, so disrespectful. I don't think that dude's right after that. So disrespectful. You just felt like it was going to happen, but it just didn't. I saw the timidness of Hayden starting to race and ride as he was like going to lose something. And as he grows, he'll learn to deal with that. But that was going to be his biggest challenge over being fast, because as I said, like it speed thing has never really been there. Like that's not, he doesn't need to qualify first to be able to be there and win. He's been able to win without qualifying that way, but his mentality is what makes him him. And once you're that guy and everything you do, you have the opportunity to lose it. Now you are supposed to win. You are supposed to do this. And when you don't do that, there's a pressure to it. And I think what we saw at Daytona and then what we saw this weekend is a rider learning how to deal with that, because Hayden, I ain't gonna sugarcoat it. He's struggling. He's not riding the same as he did at the first round, even when he was hurt or even last year. And you got to think that's the mindset of just learning how to deal with the pressure of being the guy. Because as Tom Vial is doing his thing and as Max Anstey is doing their thing, and unfortunately for Max, what a cool dude. Like, bike blows up and then you're just like, all right, but he was still cool. When they're doing their thing, you always go back, all right, what happened to Hayden though? Like, what happened to Hayden? This is before everything else ever happened. Those guys went, you'd be like, all right, what happened to Hayden? That's where he's at. Now, all that being said, is you could see, one, the pressure, but then you watch how he's riding. And I'm not talking about just going in track and speed. It's like he's getting in confrontations with guys and he's starting to do some stuff of, all right, kid. Like, all right, man, it started off where people took the Austin Faulkner, what he said, the danger zone. And it was like, you know, wasn't respectful, all these things. And I was like, oh, he's young. But then it became in, well, it even started before that. It was the bird, right? Then you get away with, wouldn't say get away with that. You get a pass on that. Then the Austin, that could be text read wrong. Then you get through Daytona. Then you're watching like just something looks off. And then you come in this weekend. And again, he's starting to, I haven't heard that he's hurt, and you got to believe he's getting healthy. So, okay, Daytona, first race of kind of being that guy. And I said that, hey, even though he's not winning the points and he's not your points leader, I think everybody kind of feels like, all right, he's the guy. He might as well have the points because the bullseye is on him. Well, this weekend kind of started off the same way. Like, he was kind of struggling in practice. And then all of a sudden, he gets into it with Seth in the heat race. And it was, I wouldn't even say it was a racing incident. Hayden's on the outside. He cuts down. And what he doesn't realize is the same thing that happens in Detroit was there's somebody on the inside of Seth that's pushing him back the other way. So Seth is pinched. He doesn't realize Hayden's coming, and then boom, he goes down. Happens all the time. But what happened, Hayden gets up, then he throws the bike down. Then it's kind of that insensitive, like, bad look. Kid's frustrated, just like the bird stuff. In his mind, like, I don't think he's doing anything differently. Like, I don't think he's trying to be disrespectful, but he's just that type. And then we get into the main event, and then the Cody Shock thing happens at the last lap. I don't really have a problem with what Hayden did. And if you really look at it, I think what he ends up hitting Cody quicker than he actually was planning on hitting Cody. I do think that Hayden was going in to give Cody the business, for sure. And man, nothing wrong with that, because ask yourself the honest question. If what Hayden did, the way he did it, everything else that's going on, if he was doing that for a win, would you have a problem with it? Like, I think people would see it differently. I think it was, the fact is, it wasn't for a win, and it was also who he was doing it to, because if you even switch the person, and even if you kept the position the same, you just switch the person, and let's say it was Vince Freeze, then I don't know if he would get as much hate. So to actually talk about what ended up happening with the pass, if you look at what's going on with Hayden, so Cody goes in, Hayden's a little bit farther back, Cody goes on off, he's a little bit farther on the outside, and now the way, when Cody's on farther on the outside, he has to make that start straight and back to that finish line. Cody has to continue turning the whole way. So once you go on that on off, if you get closer to the mechanics area, it becomes like one big sweeper. And so what you see is Cody turning, and he's getting on the gas, and then he's trying to get on the gas even more, but he has to turn the whole way. Where if you landed off that on off, and then you made a pivot, you can actually make that straightaway more of a straightaway. So as Cody's making a big arc, Hayden's actually going straight, and he's beelining to that corner. So as Cody continues doing that, Cody hears Hayden coming up. He knows his last lap. So Cody starts to shut that thing down. And I think the speed difference of Hayden trying to get to that corner, because I don't think he was trying to get Cody where he hit him at. He was trying to beat him to that, to where they actually both slow down and then knock him down at that point. Or when Cody tries to shut that thing off, then they hit each other, and then the rest is history. But all that was caused because when Cody went on off, he was too far on the outside to where he could never really get on the gas. And then he was turning the whole time, where Hayden basically was able to straighten up and beeline, and they hit. Again, change the rider. I don't think it's a big deal. Last corner, last lap. All right, definitely, don't matter who it is, for a win, you kind of expect that. And when you look at what happened, once Hayden realized he's going to hit Cody that early, you can see Hayden actually on the brakes, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hit him here. Like, that's not going to be good. Again, some riders, you could be dirty, but you ain't stupid. Hayden, I wouldn't even say, like, he's aggressive, just like even Vince Freeze. Like, they could be aggressive, just about aggressive, but being dirty is a different type. Being dirty is intentionally hitting somebody where Hayden actually did. You can see Hayden not trying to do that, because he actually knows that actually put me in jeopardy. I want to knock his ass down right in the corner. Like, that's where I want to get him at. So the intentions were to go in there and do that, but where it happens makes it look worse. The problem is for Hayden is everything else that led up to it. People starting to change the narrative. It's the Jet Lawrence and what happened to him in the beginning part. It's the comments. Like, anything you do at this point now, like, people start looking at it in their own hindsight. If I'm mad, I'm read that text in a mad thing. So I'm going to take your text and however I feel. I believe that's what's going on with Hayden. And it's all self-inflicted. You know, it's not like he didn't say anything or he didn't do anything. It's him doing his stuff and being what Hayden does. But I think it's the wherewithal of circumstances, kind of realizing, as with age, realizing when to say something, when to do something, and when not. And just this past, what happened with Cody, again, that was a riding like his intentions were going down to knock Cody down, just not where it was. So I don't even blame that for Hayden. I don't even think he should have been aware of it or change anything. I think that particular circumstance is that particular circumstance. But in a whole, he has to kind of understand where what's going on at this point, because there's somewhat of a sense of an entitlement of it's like he's rotting. And I don't know, like certain guys, they like, so if he hits him and then he's like, well, whatever, like I'm not even saying Hayden did that, but you don't apologize. It's kind of like when Jett was behind Anderson. Okay, all this stuff is going down because Jett's won championships. His comments become like, well, I'm sorry, but there's also a sense of, well, he should know better too. That's when he goes, well, all right, man, I'm sorry. I'll pay you fine. Like, he's like, all right, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry it's becoming a big deal. I don't want to make a big deal, but this dude should know, like, look, I'm here. Get out of my way. That's how Hayden's starting to rot when he hasn't, like, done that. And he's racing that way because his mindset, I think Hayden's being the aggressiveness, like that corner pass right there, or when he's frustrated and he pushes over a dude's bike, or when he's like, welcome to the danger zone. All these things is what makes Hayden Hayden. Problem is, Hayden's not winning. And so he's saying that and he's acting in the way of he's the entitlement, like he's done something. And that really rubs people the wrong way, whether it's, you know, when I think Hayden's not necessarily meaning that way, he's just continued being what he's always has and what probably got him here, but he's not, the results aren't saying that. So people are starting to look at it as like a punk that's mad because he ain't winning. And that's where I don't feel like, you know, I mean, he could be a punk. I don't know. Like some people are like punks, but at the same time, like, I don't know how you're saying Hayden is, but at the same time, there's being a punk and just being entitled and feeling like when you ride on that racetrack, that this is your racetrack and everybody else knows it's your racetrack because you're going to go up to the front. You can do all those things and you can push somebody's bike and you can knock somebody down. You can say these things because at the end of the day, they know, even if they don't like it, they know you're winning and your whole mindset is I'm going to the front. When you're not doing that, but you're still that way, then it becomes, look at this kid.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
He's just mad because he ain't winning. Look at him, frustrated. Oh, crybaby. Look at him, punk. And it's the same person, but the results are different. That's the narrative. And so what happens is when Hayden's starting to do certain things, it's really starting to go the other way. Whether this Cody Shock stuff, if he was winning a race, or maybe the Austin Fortner or whatever. And again, all this stuff that Hayden's doing, I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm just leaving my take out of it. I'm just saying people's narrative makes the Cody Shock thing become a big deal because of all the other stuff. If you've done something to the old lady, when you do something small, it becomes a big deal because you've already done something. She's still mad at you. So when you do this and you don't take out the trash, taking out trash becomes a big deal. But if she was happy, she'd be like, hey, next time take out the trash. And that's the end of that. Well, she's still mad. And she was mad before you go. Well, Hayden's at that point. And that goes back to that entitlement. And the entitlement becomes from him being who he is to him being who he is in the current situation. And people that's expecting him to be that guy, it just looks like he's upset. And now he's starting to. He almost chose the wrong people. He does it to Cody Shock. Everybody's feel good story. He's in the championship, little engine that could, everybody feels. And then Cody goes down, and whether it was Hayden or something that Cody went down, he might've broke that collarbone anyway, but Hayden now becomes, Hayden broke his collarbone. Now he's out because of what Hayden did. And I don't necessarily believe like all that's the circumstance of what was going on. I don't think that was intentional. Hayden didn't go in there to break his collarbone. It just ended up happening. And then with Seth Handmaker, this dude, I didn't even know. I don't think I've ever heard him talk. And then you're like, oh, man, he's quiet. And then what makes it even worse is that he gets on the podium and you're like, okay, like he's been injured. There wasn't a lot of hype. Like Seth is somewhat like Tom Vial. Like you're like, dude, all right, man, he's pretty good. Like, but he's quiet. Like, he's quiet. And then he gets on the podium and he has every opportunity to say what he wants to say because he just worked you and he doesn't. And he's like, I'll just keep my mouth shut. I'm just trying to do my thing, which makes it worse for Hayden because everybody's like, man, you picking on that little kid, man. You picking on that little kid. So my whole point is Hayden's got to, and I'm sure Brian knows, and he's got people around him. And as I say this, I'm saying this, and the fact is Hayden's being Hayden. The guy hasn't changed. He's being the same person he is. Like he always has. Thing is, his results are different. And when you're not performing and you're supposed to be that guy, but then you're also talking as if like you're that guy, and then you're starting to get in these incidents, it becomes a negative. So it comes different on the fan side of things. So that's the one problem. And then the other problem is him learning how to deal with being that guy, because I think some of it, not those incidents, but maybe him pushing over the bike with Seth, that could be frustration of, look, man, I'm trying to get on the roll and things are not going right. That could be the frustration, or cutting somebody off and whatever. That could be frustration of the riding, but it's not. That's something that he's going to have to deal with. And I think everybody else knows that, one, it's hard enough to win in this field. And the fans, we all know, like, the fans are the most important thing. And as Hayden's trying to build his confidence, and what makes Hayden great is because the kid, he gets and he is willing to go in and try to get bum rush somebody for eighth place or whatever he finished. He is willing to do that part for the results. And the fans, it's going to flip on you pretty quick because you don't have that luxury of saying you're going to win. And people are going to start to flip this narrative of saying you're just doing something because you're mad. When I don't think necessarily that's the issue, what would happen with Cody. I don't think that's it is. But nonetheless, Hayden just needs to go win. Damn. Like, he just needs to get back in danger, boy. I don't care. Like, stop racing to, like, protect. Because you ain't got nothing to protect. Because what you're protecting is protecting everybody else. Running away from this dude. And I'm about to talk about him in a second. But you can just see what happens from Daytona to in last weekend. There's something different. There's something different. And it goes back upstairs. There's nothing wrong with it. And I don't even think we would have this conversation. Because if you want to talk about hindsight, I would say Chance Hymus is going through the same situation as well. Like, learning to be, once Austin went out, second year into this thing, dude looks great. Watch the dude in the heat race. You're like, damn, dude, he's got some style, but what's going on? Like, why is he not winning? Why is he, like, being so fast and not? It's because I believe Chance is going through the same thing as Hayden is. Pressure. Like, he's the guy. Got Far East Coast. He's the only Honda guy. Pressure. Like, you got to deal with that. Chance. I thought Chance would have won the race by now, at least be on the podium. But there's something that's clicking that he has to figure it out. But the difference is, you don't hear from Chance. You don't hear from, even though, I mean, he hit Jalik.
From one side of the track.
Oh, well, that'll pull you from one side of the track to the other. And Hymus just got into Swole.
I mean, he did Jalik pretty good. Jalik swole up on him and got him back. Jalik, shout out. Doing good, by the way.
It's payback time.
Watch this.
Whoa!
That is called payback.
Difference is, you don't hear from him. So I would actually say what Chance did to Jalik was worse than what Hayden did to Homeboy. But there's this hype and there's all this stuff. And then, so my point is, Danger Boy, you're in the danger zone, but you're in the wrong danger zone. Like, you're in the wrong one, and you just got to continue doing what you do because you're riding and all that stuff. I believe it's fine, but it's dealing with the pressure of being there. You ain't the only one. I mean, pretty much everybody in your field is that way, except for this next guy. This next guy, Tom Piao. So, just clean up day. You solid kid. Go out there. Go in there. You got to take a pass. Take a pass out. Nobody really matter. I ain't got no problem with taking a pass out. Take a pass. I mean, if you need to push somebody's bike over, push it over. Like, whatever it makes you. But you got to win if you're going to push the bike over. Like, when I kicked Chad Reed's bike over, like, it was a bad look for me because I got, like, 12th in the main event. it didn't come good. Can you imagine if I kicked this bike over and I won? Shit. Man, I posted that joint on Instagram. I found a video, but I lost. So I had to keep that in on the DL. So you got to keep it on DL until you start winning. Just go win. But Tom Biao, dude, I think this weekend says all you need to know about him. I said, he's like wine. Gets better with age, time, and outdoors. He got better, better, and better. Tom Biao started the season off strong. Like, I watched him in practice. I'm like, man, he looks pretty good. And then, so you know, he wasn't going to be any worse than he was last year. And he was pretty solid last year. He won the race. As outdoor season went, he got better. Supercross, he got better. This season, he's getting better, but he was already pretty good. Well, he worked them dudes at Daytona, and then he comes back this weekend and works them dudes again. And you can say what you want to say, triple, no whoops. He was still going to beat those dudes. And with everything else in the circumstances and the guys he's racing with, y'all better watch out. I'm telling you right now, y'all better watch out. Because this dude obviously is a world champion, so he knows how to do it. He's too quiet to really go up and down. Like, his problem was last year was dealing with all this chaos that's called Supercross. All these fools that be jumping and doing all this stuff, especially in that 250 class. You got to worry about somebody getting their bike kicked off. You got to worry about your goggles getting stolen. Like, that's different. He's got to worry about that. But once he figures that part out, when it comes to riding and just racing y'all, like, you might have a problem, because I think he knows he can do that. Now he's won on the indoor track. He's won on the Supercross track. He won last weekend. And the way he won, it was dominant. Like, he's hole shot, and you guys are right there, and he's just pulling away from you. Being that Austin Fortner is out, being that Hayden's kicking over people's bike, and he's not being Hayden, and that Cameron McAdoo, like, he's letting it hang out, but he's just happy to be there. Like, he's the new version of, like, the American Max Anstey. Like, every time I tell him, like, woo! I just want to get happy. Just want to get happy. And Seth Handmaker, like, I think he actually is pretty good. Like, and that was kind of weird to say. I actually think Seth showed me more than actually I thought he actually had. That's because I never heard from him. But I give you get a little Seth, little time. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, like, on the real. I think that kid's going to be really good. He was already really good, but I could see him becoming Jerry Martin when Jerry Martin came out of nowhere and just start winning and being dominant. I see that in Seth, and I saw that. You can tell by the way he's riding. He's gritty. He's built right. Like, he's that little sturdy, like, engine. He's kind of built like Cooper Webb. Like, man, what's up with him? And he's quiet. He looks older than what he is, but my point is, he don't do nothing special, but he's special with what he does. So he could be a problem. Keep an eye on him. But Tom Biao is world champion, and now he's figured out how to win the Supercross, and he's got Roger Cossey. He's got a team that knows how to win, so he's going to have all the equipment. And with everybody else messing around, you're just giving this dude confidence that you shouldn't be giving confidence, because he's so quiet that you're not going to emotionally beat him. Like, you ain't going to just kick his motorcycle over. He'd probably be like, I don't care, whatever, I'm still going to beat you. And what I saw this weekend was a kid that went out there, and after all this stuff is going on, Danger Boy, Austin, Cameron, hanging it out, Seth, saw this dude come in there and just blow your doors off. And this is his second year, and he's only going to get better. So watch out. He wins again this weekend. Just like the 250 class, just like the 450 class, might be over for real. Because I don't see him emotionally, like, he ain't going to be bound emotionally like some of these fools. Like, he ain't racing. He's ain't got the Cooper Webb mentality and sense of he just ain't going to ride on a roller coaster emotionally. He just might not know how to ride Supercross, or he might not do this. That's going to be his problem. But once he figures out how to do that, like, you ain't going to just slap him, do whatever. He'd be like, all right, whatever. So, Tom Biao, two in a row. Jet Lawrence just did two in a row. Nobody's done two in a row, but you done two in a row, and it was your first two. So, Tom Biao, what are we going to do for him? He's going to get two in a row of these. Hit it, phone call.
Suntan, next on fire.
Ula bula checka smith my neck burn. Whatever that means, neck burn. Tom Biao, good job. Told you he was solid. Eric Sorby, told you, man, he was fine. Like, he just needed to... You need to figure out how to, like, these crazy Americans, they doing their thing. So everybody fine. Chance Hymus, you, I expect better. and I'm sure you're going to get better. Max Anstey, sorry, man. Firepower Honda, they blew up. Firepower, all those dudes. Cody, it was a shock. Hopefully you get better. You'll be doing your thing. Everybody else, keep hanging on. Cameron McAdoo, woo! Be good. Seth, my boy, Dangerous. So, all right, people, that was it for round 9, where I talked about everything. It seemed like everything, but what was going on? There were some ruts on that track. We'll be right back. What's up, guys? Your boy JS7. Look, if you ain't got time to watch our whole video, which I don't know why you don't, make sure you go here and subscribe and check out our new channel, where we're going to have some smaller clips, some clips that you haven't seen on our main show just for y'all. So make sure you subscribe, click, comment, do whatever you do. Watch our whole show, but come to this channel as well. Check out our stuff. See you there. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stew. All right, I'm gonna keep this short. Business like means business decisions. Business like means business victories, whatever it is. Jet Lawrence said last weekend, you put people in situations, not on the racetrack, but you make them have to realize and make business decisions on life in general. Stay with me or die. Make a choice. You made them make their choice. And to me, when you dictate everything else and you're making people pull out the wallet, not pull out the wallet, that's astute. So, Jet Lawrence, again, yeah, you won. You won all the time. Oh, whatever. You was Stu. Tom Vial, look, I said a lot, but I ain't really say a lot. You've been quiet. You always been there. And it was like, what did you do? I don't know. Like, did you do something cool? I don't know. Like, did I see something special? I don't know. But what I do know is you was Stu, and it's been 2 in a row. So, Tom Vial, I'm just keeping you short, simple, sweet, to the point. Neck burn victory, just like this. You a stew. Tom Vial. That's it. Everybody else, if you got stews, I could say some other stews, but that was it. Now, Stew. Pissed off. Pissed off because, like, you know, you get caught up in the first corner. Pissed off because somebody else falls and they get hurt and they blame it on you. Pissed off because just pissed off. Like, pissed off because she's still pissed off and you didn't take the trash off. And it just became a bigger deal than what it was when you're like, dude, I just did the same thing. And I've been doing the same thing. I always leave the trash. I always forget to take the trash out. But today, it becomes a big deal. Stew. Nope. Confused. That's more confused. Because if you don't realize that she was already pissed off, then you're confused on why she pissed off. And that, to me, could piss you off because it's confusing. And that's what this segment is. Confused. So my first one is Cooper Webb. Now, we could talk about, like, yeah, why are you confused? Because Jet Lawrence right there and he didn't come back and he didn't make a mistake. Kind of know that. Like, you even said, okay, you know, kid's good, like, whatever, like, got to step my game up, which I believe you stepped your game up. Like, what is it? It's because when you came in, like, this monster girl, she was on the track. Now, that's the first time I ever seen that, people. I was confused. I was like, what? What? You come around the corner and you thinking about you're going to see the tough locks. You see some double D's go around this thing. And you're like, bang, bang. And Cooper Webb, because Cooper Webb does what Cooper Webb does, he's whatever. Like, whatever. I don't even think he said anything about it. Like, that's what makes him him. He might have said it afterwards, but I was waiting for him. I was like, whoa, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? She was in my way. Nope. Just like, Jet was like right there. I couldn't get him, but I'll try to get him next weekend. Like, the dude's in the zone. But I was waiting for the red flag to come out. I was like, all right, she can't get hit. Man, I'm going to get that girl a stew because hopefully she got up. That girl hit the ground. I mean, come on, people. All the people watching this, Can you imagine getting hit by 450 and Cooper Webb? You know how he is? You know how he is? Not saying he's dirty, but he built right. He built right. Bam! Like, bam! She went flying. I bet she got up, though. So she is still, whatever that was. But on the real, like, I was like, wait, now, is she on the track? Is she on the... Bam! That's how I was. And she went flying. Went flying. So, Cooper Webb, I know you confused because you're like, dude, I don't know what it is. I didn't know we were racing 23. I didn't know you did. They out here racing. And so that was going on. Then I was waiting for J-Bone to fine her. Like, I was waiting for AMA to send in. Like, she got to pay a fine because she cut the track, right? She cut the track. She'd been aggressive. That's dangerous riding. She went in there, like, same. There's a lot of incidents happening in that corner. So, where you at, J-Bone? How many fines? She going to get points taken away? Who knows? So, that was that. And then the rest of it was... Everybody else was like, wait, we were on the supercross track with no whoops. We ain't got no triples, but there's a big double, like a triple. And then there's like these roller things. And then there's nothing but a supercross track in Alabama. I ain't never been here. Alabama, you win for Jenny. Wait for Jenny. Forrest Gump running through, but hey, Jenny wasn't there. So all this stuff was going on, but there was really nothing going on. And so it could be confusing. But it ain't confusing because I actually thought when they were going to Alabama, I thought they was going to like the Moto America facility, like Birmingham, Alabama, somewhere where the Moto America track, but they didn't. They went into another stadium. That was another stadium. I thought it was another stadium. It looked like another stadium. I was like, oh, okay, cool, cool. The dirt looked great, but it was like not great. Then there's all this stuff. The track looked easy, but it wasn't easy at all. So every weekend, every time I say this is what's going to happen, nothing happens that I say that was going to happen. And it's just frustrating and confusing because every time you make a prediction, it comes wrong, but they always end up right. Doesn't make any sense, but it always makes sense. Like the night, Jet Lawrence, you win. Tom Viao, you win. Cooper Webb, like you did what you did. You hit that chick and she went flying and then she got fine. It's like, is what it is. So all that being said, people, that was it from round 9. Where you saw what you saw. You saw the same thing you saw last weekend. And that's Jet Lawrence being dominant. Tom Viao being dominant on the low. And then you saw everybody else trying and they couldn't do it. But until then, round 10, we'll see the same. We'll find out. Bye-bye, people.